This is the new TC Pride Podcast, episode 62, part 4 of a special 4-part feature on the They Them Project.
TC Pride Podcast, we are on location in Minneapolis on the set of the They Them Project, and I'm here with a panel of folks that have been involved with the project. So we'll just start with everybody introducing themselves.
My name is Brent. I use he, him, his pronouns.
My name is Daja. I use she, her, hers.
My name is Chandler. I use he, him, his, and they, them, theirs pronouns.
My name is Bobby. I use they, them, theirs, and she, hers.
My name is Jacob. I use they, them, their pronouns.
My name is Hannah. I use they, them pronouns.
So Brent, so I wanted to start with you. So you asked a lot of really great questions during the interviews that you did with each of the individuals that participated in the project. So as we go through our panel discussion here, I just kind of wanted to touch on a few of these questions and ask why you thought they were important questions to ask. So the first one we want to talk about, one that you asked everybody, was if people would ever be upset by people asking them their pronouns. Why did you feel that was an important thing to address?
Well, it's something that I've always questioned. If I go into meeting someone and I have to question what gender they might use, it's something that I before was uncomfortable to ask them. So ultimately with the project, I'm asking the questions that made me uncomfortable.
And how does anybody else feel about being asked their pronouns? Or is it something that you maybe have come to feel differently about over time?
I don't really appreciate it. I go through a lot of work to be me, and it's pretty obvious, I think. But, you know, in hindsight, I'm looking around society, I'm seeing a lot of people that are really androgynous. You know, so the question is great to have, you know, out of matter of respect. But if you ask me, I'll probably come out fighting.
From my experience with the project, Daja, who just answered, is different from anyone else that I've interviewed so far. And Daja uses strictly she, her pronouns. I think it's important for people who aren't seen. I guess they could look to the interviews to know who you are, but otherwise they might question what your answer was. And I want them to understand why it is that way.
So anyway, I came out at Normandale Community College and I was genderqueer. As was normal, you know, they, them is fine. You know, but for the most part, I didn't appreciate being asked that at all. I was really nervous. I was in a school of 15,000 kids who were mostly from Eden Prairie. And I grew up there and I saw people like us duct taped to the flagpoles on a daily basis. You just didn't get to talk about it at all in 1990, 1994 when I went to high school. So when I came out a couple years ago at Normandale Community College, it's not something I appreciated talking about. I didn't want to tell my coming out story. I didn't feel I had to come out.
I think, you know, over time, I have started to kind of gravitate towards Daja's position. You know, I, since starting hormones and kind of investing a lot of energy into my appearance and kind of appearing as this kind of femme, I really want people's default to be she, her. You know, I would still appreciate people asking their pronouns as opposed to using he, him for me. Absolutely. But yeah, as a kind of non-binary woman, I feel really good when people get it right on the first try and use she, her.
For me, I just would really prefer if everyone in the world like used pronouns like right away, like asked pronouns right away. I think it would create a standard where, you know, for me specifically, I use they, them, their pronouns only. And so it just makes me feel better when someone doesn't immediately assume he, him, his, because that's often the way that I am perceived.
I'm actually in the same boat too, but on obviously like the opposite spectrum, air quote spectrum, of that binary, because I'm very I pass as female, and so that's obviously the first thing that people are going to see when they see me is they're like, female, I got it, she, her pronouns. It's like, actually, if you took like a moment to ask, then you would see that no actually it's not that at all. But yeah, if people asked, then like you wouldn't constantly be misgendered all the time. And it kind of sucks, but like, I totally understand like how you guys feel. It is really cool to like hear about that, because I don't know if like I've really had that discussion with somebody else. But yeah, like, isn't that, it's like crazy, like how intense that question really is for each of us individually.
I totally see where you're coming from. You couldn't know, but self-image. It's in my mind. So really when I'm asked to come out, or my pronouns, or gosh, when was the last time you shaved or something? Because like you have a beard and I'm not a guy. I'm a girl, you know, so I don't want to hear about my beard either. I don't ask you about your mustache. You know what I mean? So like self-image is shattered every time. I'm getting stronger. But
yeah, I think my response to that has changed and has been very dependent on like how I'm being read and like the extent to which I'm like quote unquote passing. But I still would rather be asked, and it's more disconcerting for me personally. Like, I only within the last 6 months to a year have started consistently, like suddenly overnight have been consistently read as male by, people who meet me. And it's now like disconcerting to me that people don't, like sometimes people don't realize that I'm trans. Like a lot of times people don't realize that I'm trans, and I'm so used to being trans. And I'm like even though I've had a more of an experience of like now being read as like, I kind of prefer he, him, his pronouns. And like, I feel really comfortable within like an effeminate male identity. But like, despite being more comfortable and being more like aligned with like a binary feeling and like being more, comfortable within sort of a medical transition, like now I'm like, wait a second, no, I like, please ask me my pronouns, like can't you see, like is it not obvious that I'm like super trans?
I
don't know.
I also just want to reiterate that I appreciate being read as super trans. I think
so obviously there are some different, you know, feelings about this topic. One question that you made sure to ask people about, Brent, was you would ask people about how much responsibility there should be on others to ask about someone's pronouns versus how much responsibility there should be on a trans or gender nonconforming individual to introduce themselves with their pronouns or tell people their pronouns without being asked.
And what I've learned by asking people that question is how much relief they can have if someone actually asks that question. So I asked that question originally thinking to myself, well, if this is something that's so important to you, and this again, so I'm stating all this just like I do in interviews. I'm stating all of this from the non Minnesota nice type of mentality, right? So like if I tried to keep myself outside of your world, my response is, well, if this is important to you, then you should be able to just state what your pronouns are, right? But through asking that question, and the whole purpose of the project, the whole purpose of the questions is to understand your place of that. And the thing that I definitely have learned is how much relief you can all feel if someone asks that question to start everything out. And another thing that I have learned is if you're in a group and someone makes a mistake on pronouns, and that person might be your friend, for you to actually take that step for them is even more of a release or relief.
I don't really know what to do when friends of mine actually misgender me. Ones that I've known for a long time, ones I've known for like half a year or something, and known me from a point of view where I am female. I've never been male in their point of view, and they still do it. I usually don't say anything.
So again, just being really real with this whole project. It happened today when Daja came into the room. Everyone said, well, I guess that everyone here is going to use they, them pronouns. That's going to be a common thing. I should have actually like said, well, actually Daja is different. Daja uses she, her pronouns. So I wish I would have done that. But as I am learning from this project, that is the time for me to step in and do that.
Yeah, I think that support, like having somebody there who actually is aware of your whole thing, like kind of helping facilitate it, is kind of nice, especially when you're meeting somebody or like meeting a new group of people and taking that step to be like, I'm Hannah, I use they, them pronouns. And it's like kind of alienating because no one else is really doing that. And it's like, hey, I'm the weirdo in the room. When somebody actually takes the time to ask you, then yeah, there's that like very, it's like very, like relieving to like, okay, like not only am I like outed in in this circle right here, like also you know, I can be comfortable because these people like kind of, they get it, they get that this is a thing that you know, is a necessary practice for a lot of social interactions, especially these days when, you know, like the queer community continues to grow as more and more people are just like, you know, really figuring out who they are.
Yeah, I think what we're asking is for cis people to sort of not like get to know our world, but like just change their world and make it less shitty. So like, I think for cis people to become like, cis people are coming from a historical culture in which like not being able to tell someone's gender or like thinking someone is a gender that they're not is like a big insult, and it's like equivalent to calling that person unattractive, because like being an ugly man would be looking like a woman, and being like an ugly woman would be looking like a man, and like that's like this sort of culture that they're coming from. And I think what we're asking, or at least what I'm asking, is for them to change that culture and recognize that everybody has a gendered experience in their life, and like if you changed your relationship with your own gender and introduced yourself with your own pronouns and like really interrogated the relationship you have with your gender and your gender expression as intentional in the same way that it is intentional for trans people, that you would understand us better and you would be happier.
I just agree with Chandler. You know, sometimes, I mean, most of the time what I'm doing is pulling out the information, you know, through conversation. And it might take me a few minutes, you know, but instead of asking, I try and get them to put on themselves.
So I think the next question that we want to talk about, Brent, was the 1 to 10 scale that you talked about in a lot of your videos, asking people how important is your gender identity to you on a scale of 1 to 10. And you said actually that was one of the questions that you didn't actually have the opportunity to ask everybody, and was one of the questions that you sort of came up with throughout the process of doing the project.
Yep. So through interviewing the different people that I have, they actually have had a different response to that type of question. And I've understood through certain people that just getting up in the morning, they're not thinking about how am I going to be presenting today. They're thinking, and someone used this like specific quote of, do my clothes smell? They're just making sure that they don't have a stain on their clothes. And so, and that particular person even said that like, when they get to a soccer game and they have to tell everyone their pronouns, they're just there to play soccer. And so from that perspective, the idea of gender identity to that person was more towards the 1 on the scale. Whereas to some people in this room, they've actually said 8, 9, or 10. And I'm like, are you sure it's that important? Because everyone else has actually said labeled a little different. They're like, yes, I am sure. So that is one of the questions that has been different for every single person that I've asked it to.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just thinking about it. When I first did the interview, Brent, I'd like said 8 or 9. It was like super important for me. But I think I rewatched like some people's videos, and like I saw how they answered the question. And I was like, wait, yeah, I don't think about gender like on a daily basis, like, you know, a good amount of the time. It's just kind of like in the background, and then it comes to focus at certain points in the day. And so realistically, it's probably like a 5 or a 6. But I originally said like 9, because it's like when it does come into focus, it is like that's kind of all that's there for me sometimes. It's just like that's what I'm thinking about when I'm misgendered. That's what I'm thinking about when I enter a space and I'm, you know, fearful of like being perceived a certain way and that sort of thing. So I think my answer has changed.
I didn't get to answer this question when I was first interviewed, and I wish that it was like a 2 or a 3, but it's a 9 or a 10. Absolutely. I think about it like several times an hour in every single interaction I have with every single person, especially at my job. I work with a lot of different clients, and I'm constantly aware of how I'm being perceived by those clients, how my tone of voice is coming across, how my dress is coming across, how they refer to me. As a non-binary woman who, like I said earlier, is really invested in my appearance and kind of appearing as a woman first and then non-binary kind of second, I am really finely attuned to the way that I'm perceived in the world.
I also didn't get to answer this question, and I think I really appreciate what you said, Bobby, and I feel like, yeah, in time, when, and what you said, Jacob, like when it's important, it's real fucking important. And yeah, being misgendered, like ruins the day. Just ruins my day and feels really terrible. And it's extremely important. And I think the question of like how much I think about it is affected by how much other people are thinking about it. When I'm like watching other people think about my gender, like that's what makes it really important. And, but I also think the question of like I know my gender on the same level as I know that like I'm a human being who is separate from other human beings. Like, you know how you develop that? You're like an infant and you learn that. You like learn that you are a self and that other people are also selves. On that, like on that level is the level that I know my gender. So I guess that would make it really important. But I'm generally not thinking about it that much, except when I know and notice other people thinking about it.
I'm definitely like right there with you, like it being just very much a part of who like we are as people. But yeah, when like gender is an issue and like whatever situation that you're in, and yeah, it does become like a really, really big deal, especially like when, for example, like someone will be like, "Hey, lady," and I'm like, "Ooh, I'm not a lady, not even close to it." And so like that, in that situation, yeah, then that's when it becomes like a really, really big deal. But most of the time, you know, I do think about gender stuff every single day, but it is just really part of my identity. It's just like really, it's all mashed up in there in this like big ball of like who I am as a person. And it's hard to separate that, you know, except from when it's coming externally.
Yeah, it's a subconscious thing for the most part, this gender stuff for me. I agree with everybody here, you know, with what they're saying. I mean, it's all the same answer almost, you know, but, you know, picking out my clothes, that's gendered, I suppose. I am lifting up my voice, you know, it does get pretty deep. So, you know, that's constant, you know, but I don't really think about it like consciously. I mean, unless I'm misgendered, but that doesn't really happen a whole lot anymore.
I remember interviewing Daja, and she put a really strong or personal perspective on being asked pronouns. And also in relation to the question we're asking right now, she was like, well, if I were to guess that you were not an adult, if I were to say that you were only 12 years old, how would you feel? And what would that mean to you? So it's through this project that I'm learning like to put yourself into that perspective in a different perspective than what you're used to, and is pretty easy for cisgendered people.
You know, on that note, Chandler was just talking about that versus attractiveness versus unattractiveness. It's kind of the same thing. I mean, take it out of the box a little bit. Do you really want to talk about it all the time? I don't. I'm just a person. I like the average kind of they, them thing. If you can't figure it out because, I don't know, you're an idiot and you can't tell that none of my clothing is actually male, you know, then there's non-binary people who, you know, they look cisgender too sometimes. So whatever. I don't know. Maybe it's a good question.
Yeah, I really agree with what you said there. Like for me, like I just want to interact with people, just like, you know, gender not being a thing. I just want to be a human. I just want to be in the space. I want to play my board game, or I want to eat dinner. I want to do whatever, you know, but I also want to be respected. And so like, that's a part of it, but it's underlying. It's something where I don't really want to think about that. I want it to just happen. And I think that's how I feel about that.
Yeah, I could go on and on and on. Like, how old are you? Does that matter to you? I'm 41. It kind of does matter to me. I don't want to think about that either. I'm over the hill and I don't look it, and I'm proud of that, but I'm not going to tell you.
So something else you asked folks about in your video interviews, Brent, was any advice that they might have for maybe young gender non-binary individuals, or maybe parents of young people who are exploring that part of their identity for themselves.
Yeah. So in general, with this project, I try to imagine that I am someone who does not think about being gender non-binary, and how can I better understand somebody else who does. But me starting to ask that question is trying to reach the people who are just starting to think about this, and this is their world. And there's nobody better to give advice than the people that I have been interviewing and the people sitting in this room.
My big advice, and like I feel very, very strongly about this, is like, go and find a small local bookstore and look at books for gender. I'm a really, really big supporter of like reading, because literally anything that you could possibly ever want to know is out there. So, and the, and especially the small local bookstores, because they're the ones who are going to have like the kind of like weird fringe shit that doesn't, that you're not going to find at like Barnes and Noble. Plus you're supporting a small business. So like here in Minneapolis, if you go to Bone Shaker, there's a whole section on gender, and then tons and tons of zines on it written by like local people. You know, it's all right there. It's like the best resources. And even those small spaces, which are very community oriented, through that, you can connect with like the whole community, the whole queer community. Like, people will definitely like bring you in and help you kind of figure things out and help you kind of like learn about who you are.
I would also say to young people exploring things to trust your instincts. There's no blueprint for this kind of thing. There's no one right way to do it. There's lots of people will have their own expectations about you and how it should be done. But they're full of shit. And for like grownups to really trust these young people and give them space to explore, because everything they're doing is valid and right.
And I think Chandler shared earlier about just like everyone should be questioning these things. Like, you should, like, everyone should be, you know, interrogating how they think about their gender, how they think about all these different things. I think that should be the norm, and just take time to explore it.
So Jacob was giving, reiterating what Chandler had said, in that, yeah, we should challenge our own perspective of our own gender identity. But, I think in addition to that, it should be a challenge to just love and respect whatever anyone is giving you as to what and who they are. And I think for some people that it might be a challenge, but ultimately it is something that people should try to do. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd also like to challenge people in general to just try to, when communicating with anyone, just like using their name, because that's an easy, like, you're not using pronouns at all. You're just using their name, the name that they give you. And that's just a way to avoid the whole pronoun thing in general, if you're not comfortable with it or if you're new to it.
I'm really glad you said that, because the next thing we wanted to talk about was the importance of names. Brent, that was something you didn't get a chance to ask everybody that question, did you?
So every time that I do an interview, I come up with a new question, because I'm realizing something that should be asked to someone as an individual, and how important that question is to them. And what I'm learning is to ask every one of those questions to every single person that I interview. Not every time do I include all of the answers to all of the questions, just because the videos get too long. But one of the things that I definitely never thought I would be asking in terms of gender is to ask someone what their name means to them. And to be really honest, it started with me being confused by it. Someone was telling me their name, and I realized that that's not the name that I had known that person by for a long time. And I was trying to understand, what is Yoni to you? And from an ignorant perspective, it was, okay, so this is a nickname that you now want to be called. But I realized that there could be nothing farther from the truth, at least when that person wants to be using those specific pronouns that they were using in the time that they were being interviewed. So I learned to ask people about their name, because I've discovered how, if you understand what a name means to someone, at least in most instances, you're going to understand their journey. And for most people, at least who I have interviewed, how important that name is.
The naming thing for me, Daja Nicole Anderl is actually almost synonymous with my birth name, which now isn't my birth name because I changed my birth certificate. Corrected it, really. I basically don't even say change anymore either. But okay, so it means Daja is gift from God, Nicole is victor of the people, and Anderl is on the corner. And Anderl is my wife's maiden name that I'm taking, so some little fun, and I get to have the feminine experience too, you know. So numerologically, spiritually, meaning wise, it's all synonymous. It means a lot.
Yeah, recently I've been thinking about my name. You know, Jacob is very it's associated with masculine, male. It's a biblical name, and so it has a lot of history. And you know, I've gone by Jacob ever since I was young, and I've had it associated with, you know, he, him, his pronouns. And so it's just, I've been thinking about changing it. I haven't thought of a specific name that I might want. But just the way I kind of view names in general for myself, at least, is that, you know, my name is something that people collectively know me as. And so that's kind of like, that's comfortable. But at the same time, like, if my name's going to contribute to me being misgendered, then I might want to rethink that.
I also have a gendered name. So I thought about it too. I actually had a discussion with my best friend about it, and she also changed her name. Was like, oh yeah, like, if you want to change your name, I will call you whatever you want to be called. Like, let's figure something out right now. It's like, that's a lot of pressure. Let's just kind of dial it back. But like, I had that support. Then thinking about, like, telling all of these people my new chosen name, trying to explain that to my family, trying to explain it to the people I work with, and also having all these associated, like, very special memories connected to my name from, like, my childhood and things like that. And then again, the whole thing where just, like, so I tend to be, like, so gender defiant that I, like, hate that it has to be a gendered name. So in that way, I don't feel like I need to change it, because I don't, like, the idea of a gendered name is just irritating. It's like, why? Like, this is the name that, I have to say this every single time, whoever does choose to change their name because it's they want something different, maybe something that isn't gendered, that's great, that is like what that fits for them. But for me personally, I think I'm probably going to continue forever to just deny that I have a gendered name. For me personally, and that name is just connected to, like, who I am as a person rather than a gender. So
we've talked about a lot of things, and I think the coolest part, I mean, of what I do with the podcast in general is just representing, like, so many diverse viewpoints. And I can't remember who it was here, but somebody said that it was important to let cis people know that there isn't one general experience. Like, there isn't one sort of common experience for all, like, transgender people or all gender nonconforming people. So I appreciate just, you know, the diversity of all the answers and the experiences you've shared. Is there anything that maybe you've learned, maybe just from each other, just sitting here during this conversation, or maybe throughout the course of being involved with this project?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I really appreciated Dasha's experience. You know, whenever I talk to any person who's in the queer community and just hear their perspective on different topics, it's just, I get so many different, I just learned so much. And so it's cool to hear a different perspective.
I definitely agree with the perspective thing. That was probably my favorite part, is like, it's not often that you really take the time to sit down with a group of, like, other queer people and talk about queer stuff. And because, you know, we're always running around being busy doing all the things that we need to be doing. And then sometimes talking about gender can be exhausting, because it's literally something that, like, you know, it could, like Chandler said, it could ruin your day just so easily. But at the same time, like, kind of celebrating it by doing this project and, like, really coming together, like, in a little tiny little community for a brief moment of time to just experience that together has been really, really awesome.
And then, Brent, is there anything else that you wanted to address as we're wrapping up the panel discussion?
Yeah, so I was really excited about bringing everyone together just to see how everyone did interact. I mean, ultimately, what we're learning from this project, what we're learning from this interview, is that everyone does have a different journey, a different story. And being able to see these people who I've had the chance to be able to interview actually look to each other and appreciate each other's answers. I mean, I've only had the chance once before to watch someone watch these interviews. And the whole time that was happening, someone was nodding their head like, oh gosh, I'm so glad that I'm hearing this from somebody else. And that's what's been happening here today. So I'm excited that that we have the chance to have everyone learn from this.
Well, thanks everyone for sharing so candidly. And thank you for being here and sharing your time today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Right on. Thanks.
Thanks, Ryan.
The TC Pride Podcast is a production of Podletter Media and Twin Cities Pride. Subscribe now on iTunes, on Android, or on YouTube at tcpridepodcast.org.